Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very glad that you're listening in today and in support of our show. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, you can do so at 347-850-1100. Again, the number is 347-850-1100. And I'm very excited to introduce our guest today, Laurie Larson. Laurie, are you with us?
I'm here, Jennifer.
You are. And thank you so much for being on today. I know that you're a little bit under the weather, but I have held true to your commitment to be with us. So we appreciate that very much.
That's fine.
Today we are talking about a topic that has a lot of people very interested, and that is search and reunion. Reuniting with birth parents for many people can be an exciting and scary and profoundly emotional experience. So I'm again glad that you're with us and to share a little bit with our audience so we can have a better understanding of what search and reunion is all about. Let's start maybe with, how long have you been assisting Adoption Associates clients with search and reunion matters? And tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, while I've been with the agency for 15 years, I've been doing this task for about a year and a half. And essentially, the search and reunion process is something that the state of Michigan allows for adult adoptees to find information on their birth parents. And there are certain laws governing it. As I've worked for the past year and a half, I've found that most commonly it's people between the ages of 18 and 25 who are those who are searching. The minimum age that Michigan requires is someone being 18 years old. So it's really a process that's laid out by the state, and as a licensed agency, we're adept at handling it.
Great. What are any commonalities that you see amongst individuals that are calling the agency to try to begin a search or reunion?
Well, I think that there are various reasons for searching, but primarily people who are wanting just another piece of the puzzle. For the most part, they have been given information by their parents. That's something that has happened. They generally have the support of their parents to do this search and reunion task. They want just to know one more piece of their puzzle, of their life. And so that's partly why they go forward. There are some people who might run into a medical issue that, while we give all the medical information we have at the time of placement, sometimes things come up, and that might pique someone's curiosity to dig a little further in that regard.
Okay. And before beginning a search for a birth parent, what recommendations do you give, or what questions should someone ask themselves before starting this journey?
I really would recommend that a person prepare themselves emotionally for having this information available to them. I recommend that they have someone that walks through that with them. It could be parents who have been helping them all the way along to understand their adoption story. It could be a good friend. It could also be a therapist or a counselor. We, in fact, are required by the statute to provide information to people about therapists and counselors in the area where they live that might be helpful to them. It's just important to think through the possible scenarios that might come out of this search. most birth parents are delighted to have a reconnection with a child they placed at birth. There also, however, are people who may not have ever told anybody else about their adoption plan. They may not have been someone who has reached the goals that they'd set for themselves at the time of placement, and they may not be in a good place themselves. And the person searching needs to keep those types of things in mind, because you don't know what you're going to find at the end of that search. So to think things through, we provide some information in that regard. There are also a lot of just websites and things like that that people can avail themselves of, so that they are as well prepared as possible going into things.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part to all of this is, you know, we mentioned it can be exciting and scary, and oftentimes just in life, when we're excited about something, we just jump both feet and forward without thinking. I'm glad that you talked about that. You mentioned Michigan laws, and so I was hoping that you could tell us a little bit about the laws that are related to search and reunion matters.
Okay, I'm glad to. In September of 1980, the Adoption Central Registry was developed in the state of Michigan, and it's essentially a clearinghouse for birth parents, because birth parents are provided a legal form entitled the Advice of Rights to be sent into Lansing, where the Adoption Central Registry is located, that will indicate their desires to be located once a person turns 18 or not be located. And then part of that is that information of an identifying nature can be released to them. So it's also true that at release, all birth moms are told, and birth fathers are told, that if they do nothing with this form, that automatically identifying information will be released to an adult adoptee once they are 18 and once they initiate a search. And I would say in the years that I did birth mom work for the agency, and that I would imagine it still holds true today, that most birth parents do not file a form to deny that access. So does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. It does. I guess I didn't recognize that there were specific laws, so I'm glad to hear that. What is the process when someone reaches out to Adoption Associates for help with search and reunion matters when you get a call in? Kind of take us through what that looks like.
Okay. Well, if an AAI client calls and requests information, it generally goes through our support staff, and then it's forwarded on to me. I get back with that individual. I prefer by phone, simply because that at least creates a relationship that's a little different than online, and I explain the process to them. The state of Michigan also requires that the request by the individual be done in writing. So I will send them the forms that are necessary to get that process going. When they return that initial form to me, they have the option of getting non-identifying information first. And that essentially consists of the same information that's in the child study that had been given to parents at the time of placement. It will indicate a lot of things about social and medical history, but it will be done in a non-identifying way. Last names will not be included. Dates of birth exactly will not be included. But there is a lot of information that can be sent immediately to the person that fills out that form. Then when I respond with the non-identifying information, but then I also send in information to the Central Adoption Registry trying to determine whether or not a denial has been placed. And by and large, I can tell you that in the time I've done it, there has never been a denial in place in the Central Adoption Registry. So if they then send the form back to me saying no denial is in place, then I can send on identifying information to the person making the request. That identifying information will be the birth name of the child at placement, the name of each birth parent at the time of termination of parental rights. If they have kept their information, we will give them the last known name and address of each birth parent, and we'll also give them the names of any biological siblings that the person had at the time of termination. That's what's considered identifying information.
Okay. That's a great deal of information, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
If previous permission was granted by the birth parent according to the Adoption Central Registry, well, you did talk about what information, but what do they then do with this information? So whatever is available is passed on to them. What do they do then to actually perform the search of the birth parent?
Okay, well, what I would say initially is that once they get it, I just encourage people to slow down and consider how to proceed and then do so carefully. As I said, most stories that I have heard, it turns out to be a good relationship to realize that you are establishing a rapport first with a person and then getting to know them. You mentioned earlier that in our eagerness, we sometimes just go for things, but slow down initially. And then we would tell people to never make an in-person contact as your first contact. You're not going to just show up on somebody's doorstep and say, hey, remember me? You placed me 18 years ago. So you're going to first going to approach it through a phone call perhaps, or an email or Facebook contact, or even a letter if you have that last known address. A caution here is to never tell anyone except the birth parent who you are in relation to them. In other words, if you get a call or if you place a call, you indicate that you might give your name, but then don't say anything beyond that and ask for a call back. Again, most are happy to be found, but you really need to respect the person's privacy that you're trying to contact. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it will go most often.
And so what role is social media playing in search and reunion matters? And then maybe the flip side of that, what role do you think social media should be playing?
Well, it's playing a tremendous role in this, just like it is in most other areas of our life, because I have had clients who, once they have the information, go on a Facebook search for that person, and they some can find them very readily. I had one young woman who within 2 hours was able to identify her birth father and make a connection in that way. She didn't immediately jump on it, but she told me it took that little time to actually find him. Because social media gives access to so many people, I guess I'm also going to jump in here with a plug for openness, because it really serves adoptive families well. If parents have done their job with having an open stance towards adoption all the way through their child's life, they are going to have perhaps have the visits that take away some of the mystery around search and reunion, and the child will be making connections while parents are still in the picture, so to speak. And there is less problem than I think for later a Facebook connection or a Twitter or a tweet connection between a child and a birth parent. Again, most parents are certainly eager to have this contact. It's also true that there are complexities to this that adoptive families can be well served by openness so that it doesn't end up to be a surprise Facebook encounter at some point along the way.
Sure. I think that's a good point. And you mentioned the parents and their a level of openness throughout the years and all of the things that, you know, we know so much about in adoption. But in regards to search and reunion, I'm wondering what role you feel the adoptive parents should play or could play in this process.
That's a great question. Legally, once a person turns 18, unless they tell me that they want their parents, you know, copied on emails or something like that, the only contact I can have legally is through the adult adoptee themselves. But I have heard from people doing this search, many times I've heard, yeah, my folks are great with this, or they have encouraged me to do this. And those are the young people who really do best with this search because they aren't going into it fearfully. They know their parents are open to discuss it. They have good guidance there. At the same time, I have had young people say to me, I don't want my folks to know anything about this. It might hurt their feelings that I'm doing this. And that makes me feel a bit sad because I think that it indicates that maybe parents haven't done quite the job they could at incorporating adoption as just a part of their child's story. So again, it really varies what people are coming with, but I think to have been open in talking about adoption all the way through a child's life, to have told their young person all the way along, when the time comes, I'll help you do this, is really a good message to send to a child.
I think you couldn't be more right about that, and I know that you've certainly heard some of those stories. Privacy is obviously so important in what we do, but I'm wondering if there might be one or two examples that you could share of some stories where individuals have reached out to Adoption Associates and we've been able to help them with the reunion, or not reunion necessarily, but obtaining information for search.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can just tell you that I have had emails back from people who tell me, and they sometimes use that puzzle, piece of the puzzle, that it's one more thing that I know about myself now, and phrases such as, I couldn't be more pleased to have met her. There are ways that it just adds to a sense of contentment and something being more clear at a time when, it's, as I said, it's often a young person between 18 and 25, when they are doing the important work of deciding who they are as they launch into this world, often on their own. So it just adds a piece to that. Mm-hmm. I've also heard some remarkable things. One person was very pleased to find out, as she was setting out on a musical career, that when she connected with her birth father to find that he was still in his 40s participating in a band and that sort of thing. So it just also gives somebody a connection to birth parents who are always to be honored as very important people in their child's life.
Absolutely, absolutely. This has been great information today, and it's definitely a topic that we haven't discussed yet on the podcast. So I do want to thank you again. We are approaching the end of the show. And is there anything else that you think is important that we kind of tie up our show with today? I want to make sure that we kind of don't leave any stones left unturned because this is a topic that's relatively new, I guess is the right way. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, not only to Adoption Associates and assisting, but, you know, hearing from some of our former clients about their experiences. So anything else that you think we should make sure to mention at this point?
Well, I think maybe just to say that there is a website out there that you can further explore this. You can go to www.michigan.gov/DHS. Then that will take you, you can go through foster care and adoption to forms and publications. And at that site, you'll be able to download or do whatever you want to in terms of some of the forms that can maybe just flesh this out for people a bit more.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely include that information on our Facebook page, too, as part of our recap of today's show, so that anyone that's needing that, we'll make sure and put that out there. So thank you for mentioning that. And for listeners that are looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you can do so by phone at 800-677-2367. Again, 800-677-2367 to reach Adoption Associates. You can also visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net or our Facebook page. Laurie, thank you again so much for your time today and for this great information.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. I hope that everyone remembers that we are live on Tuesdays at 11 for Adoption Focus, and I hope that you join us next week when we have another guest that will be speaking about his and his wife's adoption story. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.